In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Thursday, May 6, 2010 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Happy to have you on the program today. And breaking news on federalnewsradio.com is written by our Max Kakis. By a 268 to 147 vote, the House on Thursday has voted down H.R. 1722, the Telework Improvements Act. The bill failed because under House rules governing non-controversial legislation considered under the suspension calendar, the measure failed to win a two-thirds majority of the lawmakers voting. The bill would have greatly expanded the ability of federal workers to telework. In his speech to the full House Wednesday night, Representative John Sarbanes of Maryland said it's going to improve productivity in those agencies where this has been implemented well, and across the board you're seeing productivity go up, not just among the people that are teleworking, but across the entire workforce, because it's a cultural shift in terms of how performance is measured. No word from Sarbanes' office on whether the telework bill will be reintroduced for consideration by the full House. More details as they become available at federalnewsradio.com. And the Daily Debrief with Chris Dorbeck and Amy Morris will be focused on this issue this afternoon. A lot of implications here for management at the agencies, because this is an issue that the administration and the Office of Personnel Management in particular has been pushing fairly heavily. And coincidentally, on the schedule for a number of days or week or so, Bob Tobias of American University scheduled to come in today, and it happens to be a happy coincidence that this happens on the day that you're supposed to be here, Bob. I appreciate you being on the program today.
Thank you.
What are your thoughts as we're learning details about this? We really only know what Max has written for the website, but what are your thoughts first off?
Well, I'm really sad that the bill didn't pass with the necessary two-thirds. It fell short, didn't get the two-thirds, and I'm sad that it didn't, because every piece of evidence that exists about teleworking shows that those who do telework have increased productivity. So there's no reason to vote it down. It results in increased productivity and increased employee satisfaction. So for me, it's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. It will be interesting to follow this because, as you say, there is a lot of evidence that the places, as Congressman Sarbanes said on the floor last night, the places where it's being utilized in a widespread way, it's getting the results that you mentioned. As I said at the top, this is something the Obama administration and John Berry at OPM have pushed very heavily. They've been really behind this, talking about it in a number of different forums. They've had their people talking this up at any number of different venues. And I wonder, I think it'll be interesting to follow what this does as far as the effort that the administration puts behind it.
Well, what the vote shows is that there's well over a majority of members of the House of Representatives who are interested in passing this bill. What it also shows is that there isn't a two-thirds majority.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hopeful that the that Congressman Sarbanes will either attach it to another piece of legislation, or that it will be voted on by the House, not under the suspension rules, and a 50% majority will pass it.
Get it through easily. Telework was one of the things that I had on the list to talk to you about today. Last time you were here, we talked about a number of managerial issues, things that managers at the agencies are dealing with, and ways to try to improve performance. And this was one of the things that we kind of touched on briefly and didn't get a chance to really explore. One of the holdups at the agencies on telework has always been the out of sight, out of mind mentality that some managers have. If I can't see that the work's getting done, I'm not confident of that. In the people that you're dealing with inside the government that are having success doing this, what are some of the success stories that can be told, maybe not specific agencies or whatever, but conceptual, at the conceptual level, that means something to managers? If I'm in a position where I'm in an agency and I want to get my boss to go for this.
Well, there is sort of a myth, I think, that if I'm at work and you're my boss and you're walking up and down the hallway, you can tell whether I'm working or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for anybody who works in a cube anywhere in the world, It is indeed a myth.
Uh-huh.
I can be working in that cube or not, as the case may be.
As we've recently learned from the Securities and Exchange Commission.
As we've recently learned. So then, of course, the supervisor who labors under this myth thinks that if he or she isn't watching someone, then number one, they won't work. And this would be especially true if they were home during the day eating bonbons and sitting on the deck on a beautiful day like today.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer to that is when agencies and supervisors create more objective measures of performance, it's very easy to understand and to measure whether that person is performing the work that's been assigned.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps the longest standing and most successful telework program is at the Patent and Trademark Office, where people go for weeks at a time and never report because they're measured on the number of applications they consider and turn out, or the number of trademark applications that they consider and turn out. So it's a very easily measurable result, and the agency has been very interested in engaging in telework because the bottom line for them is not only increased productivity, but decreased necessity for office space.
Now, we talked about this yesterday on the program. I played parts of a hearing from the House Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Subcommittee that Senator Akaka chairs. And Jonathan Foley, who's a senior advisor to Director Berry, was at the hearing talking about Roe. Are the results-oriented workplace environment, I think, if I'm remembering my acronym correctly, which is the gist of what you're talking about, how we take what's happening at Patent and Trademark and use that as kind of a model for the rest of the government. Talk about the components of that, because I'm still surprised at the number of people who don't understand how telework works, that it doesn't necessarily mean what you were saying, that somebody has the freedom to just sit at their house and do whatever they need to, as long as they do the bare minimum to keep their jobs.
In places where telework is working, people have clear performance objectives. They're most often required to answer their phones. Be available to answer their phones. It's not as though they can turn themselves off from the workplace. They have to answer the phones. They have to do the work, and the work is measured both in terms of quantity and quality. One of the other key components is whether the agency provides the kind of security that allows employees access to the databases that they need to work. So, for example, in the case of PTO, the computer equipment, the secure lines are all provided by PTO to the employees at home.
Mm-hmm. The element of working at home versus working in the telework center, I think that's another misunderstanding there. I believe 13 telework centers around the district area, and there's one, I think the farthest one out is in Martinsburg. Isn't there one up there, I believe? At any rate, we've got a list of them at federalnewsradio.com. But the telework centers, we hear over and over again, also are not used as heavily as they could be. And here, these are essentially work environments already built, ready to go. You show up, you bring your laptop and plug in, and you're essentially working at your agency pretty much.
Right.
I mean, the promotion of those is an element of this act, and how to get people more aware of them.
Well, I don't think it's getting people aware. I think there are lots of people who would participate were they allowed to participate. I think there are far more people standing in line to do telework than there are opportunities provided by agencies.
So this is the managerial level, really.
It is.
This is the deciders deciding, I don't want my people to do this.
I don't want my people to do it.
So it sounds to me then like it's going to take either the bill that failed in the House today to go through on a straight vote, or it's going to take the administration, Jeff Zients or somebody of his at his level, saying, knock it off. Just do it. This is now the policy, and we work this way.
Well, you know, you can say that, but most managers are smart enough to get around it or find exceptions. I think that the real answer is to help supervisors understand and meet their needs for being secure in the fact that those who report to them are actually working at home. And the answer to that is helping supervisors to define more objective performance measures.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do that, then it will be very easy for them to say yes, because they'll have a way of measuring performance. Right now, many supervisors do not have a way of measuring performance.
All right, let's talk about that when we come back. We've got a break, and we will discuss those performance measures with my guest, Robert Tobias, on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll continue in just a moment.
Latest from the Federal Security Spotlight, brought to you by Cisco.
Worried about the internet routing table? You should be. Here's Doug Montgomery of NIST, who's trying to fix a big cyber problem with a solution called RPKI.
An ISP network re-originated what looks like probably the whole routing table, but about 10% of that leaked out to the internet, maybe 30,000 some routes. And the RPKI is designed exactly to address that issue.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com. Will the top-of-mind security issues of today be the issues facing government tomorrow? Get the latest from federal experts on FISMA reform, the cyber initiative, how government is combating botnets, spyware, and other cyber evils, and more. Listen to Federal Security Spotlight, sponsored by Cisco, airing Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. or on demand at federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Security Spotlight is brought to you by Cisco, the leader in federal IT security.
Everyday America depends on the FAA to ensure the safe operation of the national airspace. For more than 20 years, task engineers and specialists have supported the FAA's development of a safe and secure air traffic management system. To meet the increased demand for air traffic services, the FAA and its stakeholders are planning and developing NextGen, the next generation air transportation system. Achieving the NextGen vision requires a deep understanding of FAA and stakeholder technical, management, and organizational challenges. With a proven expertise in NAS systems engineering, program management, and aviation operations, TASC stands ready to support the FAA's NextGen transformation. TASC is and continues to be a trusted advisor partnering with the FAA today for a safer tomorrow. If it involves national security, public safety, or critical infrastructure, TASC is at work. If important work is important to you, be part of a dynamic future. Visit online at TASC.com.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorbeck. Here's what we're working on for this afternoon's Daily Debrief. Work-life issues. We don't always take the topic very seriously, but this afternoon we'll talk to an expert who says there's real data that all that work-life stuff, well, it makes a big difference. And those treasury websites that were hacked, in our cybersecurity update, we'll talk to the researcher who actually discovered the hack. All that and much more this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Daily Debrief with Chris Dorbeck and Amy Morris, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Robert Tobias, and we are talking about, well, during the break, we were talking about fixing it. And I mentioned that, alluding to my comment about somebody saying at an executive level, you just have to telework, you have to allow your employees to do it. You pointed me to the Saturday Night Live Fix It skit, which I'd not seen before, but which is absolutely apropos and very funny. And I'm going to post that up on federalnewsradio.com/in-depth so you can see what Bob turned me on to during the break. It's very funny. And it's essentially a guy who's playing the character of a work consultant saying you identify a problem and you fix it, and that's just all there is to it, and it's not that simple. In this case, what you talked about before the break, Bob, was establishing specific and accurate measures of whether work that's being done by teleworkers is being done to the level that it needs to be to meet the mission of the agency. But let's drill down into that for a few minutes. And where do you start? I mean, who sets the measures? Who agrees to the measures? And how do you formulate that roadmap to then get a manager to say, okay, if my person does this, I'm cool with it?
Well, I think it starts with an agency that focuses on measuring organizational performance and then figuring out what every person in the agency contributes to achieving that performance. So most agencies don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what people do at the work level with their supervisor is the supervisor defines activities that can't be measured very well, and how people are measured most often is whether they work hard, not whether they achieve specific goals.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm a supervisor, I can't figure out whether you're working hard mythologically unless I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
However, if there were specific performance goals that could be achieved independently of working hard for which you're responsible, then it wouldn't matter whether I was looking at you or not. I would know you were working hard because you accomplished the goals.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me that if we go through the annual review process, as federal employees do. We have them here at the radio station. And in my annual review, we set out a number of goals, things that when we sit down and do this again next year, we'd like to be in a particular spot. It seems to me that might be a framework, at least to start, to say that you have this assignment, the mission of the agency, or your portion of the agency is this. And I certainly don't think it could be done in a minute, but it would seem that the framework for these is pretty easily within reach.
Well, conceptually it is, and yet it hasn't been done in very many places. I mean, I think that the only place that it's been close to being done in a way that makes any sense was under the NSPS system.
Mm-hmm.
And the piece of the NSPS system that made sense was the performance management system.
Mm-hmm.
Because individuals and supervisors were required to determine the contribution of employees to organizational goals. And what I discovered as part of that NSPS review that I did last summer was that 91% of employees felt that their work was directly linked to organizational performance,
mm-hmm.
which is incredible. 91% of any group, certainly a group of 200,000, rarely agree on anything,
yeah.
but they did agree that their goals were linked to the organization goals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the rest of NSPS was deserved to be eliminated, but this piece hopefully will be saved as part of whatever DOD does in the future, and it could be a model for the rest of the government.
Let's talk about that when we come back on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, because NSPS has almost become, well, a four-letter word, if you'll pardon the expression. And whether any of it can really be salvaged and used again, I think, is open to debate. We'll debate it a little bit. Bob Tobias, my guest in studio on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's In-Depth with Francis Rose, and we'll continue in just a moment.
I'm Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are sinking on worries about the debt crisis in Greece. There's disappointment the European Central Bank is offering no new measures to contain the problem. The Dow's down 119 points, the Nasdaq lower by 36. Two pieces of economic data out today with very mixed results. U.S. productivity grew solidly in the first quarter, but the number of workers filing first-time claims for unemployment insurance fell less than expected last week. Tomorrow, the Labor Department will be out with its monthly jobs report. Some of the nation's top store chains, from Kohl's to Gap and Abercrombie & Fitch, posting disappointing April sales results. Sales at stores open at least a year rose 0.5% in April from a year earlier. That was well short of Wall Street estimates. Once again, stocks are lower. The Dow's down 124 points. Chris Maurer, CNBC, Business Radio.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy. Photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
If you're unsure when to lock in your rate on a new CD, check out the 2-year Raise Your Rate CD from Ally Bank. Its interest rate is among the most competitive in the country. And if rates go up anytime during the term of the CD, you have the opportunity of a one-time rate increase. Give us a try and let us show you how banking should be. Call us at 877-247-ALLY or go to allybank.com. Ally, straightforward, member FDIC.
Cybersecurity panel to your hard-earned wealth after you die? How do you protect your assets for your family? Will your heirs squander it away? Will creditors and predators try to take it away from your loved ones? At Zelle Law, our goal is to give you peace of mind in planning for your retirement and beyond by helping you construct the best life and estate plans customized to your needs. Find out what you need to know on Blueprint for Wealth. Join me, Wayne Zell, Saturdays at 10 a.m. right here on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio.
There's no better way to study the world's best golf swings than to watch them side by side on the range. Move down the line from Arnold Palmer to Fred Couples to Phil Mickelson, and you notice not just the differences, but the similarities, like their wonderful balance, rhythm, and timing. And if you look closely as they leave, you'll notice something else they have in common. The same timepiece, a Rolex Day-Date. Available in 18-karat white or yellow gold or platinum, the Day-Date is put through 15 days and nights of the most grueling testing before it ever leaves Geneva. That ensures that, like these great golfers, it will perform as well in the real world as it does in practice. To see a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Here's Bill Kroll, ArcSight board member and former deputy director NSA, on the 21st Century Cybersecurity Panel, sponsored by ArcSight.
Well, I think that the overhaul of FISMA, an emphasis on making it a real-time monitoring capability, is an extremely important one because we are wasting literally billions of dollars on the checklist approach to security. And I guarantee you, no one in the commercial world is operating with a checklist.
To listen to the whole program made possible by ArcSight, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
NATO, the Federal Reserve, World Bank, the Department of Treasury, what do they have in common? All turned to ArcSight to secure their critical information and operations. ArcSight identifies, assesses, and mitigates internal and external cyber threats. With the market-leading ArcSight SIEM platform, organizations can safeguard their assets, comply with regulatory policy, and control risks associated with cyber attacks. Learn more at ArcSight.com, ArcSight.com.
The American Council for Technology is celebrating 30 years of collaboration between government and industry. The upcoming Management of Change Conference features speakers, workshops, best practices, and networking opportunities, all focusing on the government's IT strategic agenda. Building on the success of the past 30 years of collaboration, this conference is a must attend for government and industry IT leaders. Mark your calendar for May 23rd through the 25th at the Lowe's Philadelphia Hotel. For more information or to register, go to actgov.org/MOC2010. Register today.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Bob Tobias of American University, and we're talking about some managerial challenges that you and your colleagues are dealing with all across the federal government. We're talking about NSPS, the National Security Personnel System, before the break, the Pentagon's former pay-for-performance system that's been discontinued. And by the way, plug for Mike Causey, his column the last couple days on federalnewsradio.com has dealt with the transition that people are finding themselves in who were in NSPS and who are now transitioning back to the GS system and what it's, what kind of impact it's having on their pockets, on their paychecks. So that I encourage you to read at federalnewsradio.com. Mike's stuff's real easy to find on the homepage. Just look for his face. He's smiling on the picture on the website, ironically enough. So that's a good thing. You saw him on the way in here, didn't you?
I did.
He was sitting across the street, smoking a cigar, having a good time.
He was. That sounded soaking up the sun.
As well he should on a day like today. I wanted to do the show outside, but couldn't pull it off. I'm not important enough to be able to get that done. We were talking about NSPS before the break, and I wonder if there are very few people that talk about NSPS at this point in time that have much good to say about it. The unions, of course, hated it from the very beginning for a number of reasons. And so I wonder if the pieces that you talked about before the break that you pointed to as being worth saving are salvageable, if for no other reason than because they're from this program that has now been discontinued and reviled by so many people. If the first time somebody tries to resurrect some pieces of it, somebody will say, well, that's from NSPS. We can't have any of that. And so none of it will be usable.
NSPS had three components. One was the performance management system that was supposed to link to pay through the creation of pay pools. And the third element was a broad banding system where people could move along a band based on performance. The pay pool processes and the broad banding process sunk NSPS because the pay pool process was not transparent, and quite arbitrary in determining how much money people would be paid for the performance they achieved. So when something is not transparent and perceived as arbitrary, people get very angry, especially when they were promised that it would not be arbitrary and would be transparent.
Mm-hmm.
And second, the broad banding process was very much misused by the Department of Defense to move people along the pay band, again, arbitrarily and without competition, with 5% pay increases along that pay band. So those two elements were the focus of everyone's attention, and I believe rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
The one element that was under the radar, that was not criticized, and for which I thought DOD did a very good job, was creating a performance management system. And by that I mean creating a system where managers are responsible for creating performance objectives in consultation with those they lead that are linked to the organizational goals and objectives. And they did a good job at that.
So that's the element. What I find interesting about that is that's the element that we've been talking about on this show and the times that you've been here before that has been the struggle, is who's around the table when we decide what the final list of objectives is going to be, whether it's for pay for performance or whether it's for telework or any of the other issues that we're dealing with. Why is this conceptually, do you think, such a struggle for federal agencies, for public organizations in general? Because it's not just at the federal level, it's at the at all levels of government. Why is it such a struggle for these organizations to even begin the process of setting the agenda for what it is that we're going to measure and then measuring it effectively so that the people that are involved, whether it's the teleworkers and managers or the employees and managers of the pay-for-performance scheme, are satisfied with the end result?
Well, I think there are a lot of reasons. One, it's hard work. If my entire career as a supervisor, I've been able to be unclear and have total control over what rating that I give you, and now you tell me I have to be more clear and I have to work hard to define these measures, what's in it for me?
Mm-hmm.
Except grief. Number two, if I'm a supervisor and I have the ability to evaluate you solely on whether I believe you've worked hard as opposed to achieving results, then to now evaluate you on achieving results, even though you come to me and say, I've really worked hard, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
I want that 5 rating. I've worked hard. I have to say to you, well, that's very interesting, Francis. You didn't achieve any results. So you get a 2, not a 5.
A lot of managers have said that to me over the years, which is really frightening, actually.
Well, you must bring it out in them. What can I tell you? So, but that's a very hard conversation for most supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
So there's resistance to doing that. And I don't believe that there has been very much pressure from the political leadership in agencies to support the kind of organizational change that would be necessary to create that kind of a system.
And so when I try to match that up with what people are saying about Director Barry, which is if anybody can do it, he can do it, not specifically on this issue, but in these kinds of reforms in general, I imagine that's what you believe people are talking about, because you've expressed here before the confidence that you have in Director Barry and in Jeff Zients to be able to exert that kind of pressure. May even be a little bit too harsh of a word, but I guess leadership is really the key component of it.
Well, I've been around a while, and this is the first time in any administration where I have seen the director of OPM really partnering with the deputy director for management at OMB to achieve goals and objectives. Historically, they're both throwing bombs at each other as opposed to working together. And so I see that as a very positive sign that things can happen.
Mm-hmm. Want to talk about some more, the quality of life issues that Max Kakis has been reporting on and some other management things when we come back with Bob Tobias on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And a reminder that Max Kakis will join us to talk more about this telework bill that has gone down to defeat today. And he'll explain it and let us know what he has found is up next for it. That'll be at the top of the hour, 2 o'clock on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll do that when we come back.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down the walls and enabling face-to-face communication, regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com.
The Internet. It's indispensable. Without it, how else would we perform crucial functions like shoe shopping, watching videos of a cat playing the piano, emailing inspirational anecdotes to our 1,000 closest friends. But despite these awesome utilizations of information technology at Kaiser Permanente, we found some better uses, like being able to securely manage your own health online 24/7, emailing your doctor's office, checking most test results, reviewing meds, making routine appointments, not to mention a vital digital connection between you, your doctor, and everyone on your team. Could it be that making total health smarter, more efficient, and more convenient is the very sort of thing for which the internet was intended? Maybe, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't fit in a cat video now and then. We're Kaiser Permanente, and we want you to live well, laugh well, and thrive. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Newsmakers talk to Jason Miller.
Vivek Kundra is the Federal Chief Information Officer.
What we're going to get from agencies is actually a set of data feeds that come out of their security management tools that will be fed into a centralized system called CyberScope, which will be operated by the Department of Homeland Security. And in this system, we'll be able to look at what's going on across the federal enterprise on as close to a real-time basis as possible.
Hear the entire interview online. FederalNewsRadio.com/Federal Drive. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, is the home of the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10, Tom and Jane navigate the world of the RFIs, RFPs, circulars, executive orders, and regulations for you, the federal manager and contractor, and deliver news, perspective, and analysis in plain language to make your agency and company more efficient. Tom and Jane speak to newsmakers and analysts live to get to the details on the latest mission-critical news and information. The Federal Drive is federal news from the inside up. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Your source for federal news now. Tired of playing catch-up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Robert Tobias of American University, and we're talking about managerial challenges in the federal government. And you're the people you teach at AU are this kind of person. They're high-level people. Talk about what they're talking about when they come into class. What are the things that they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis that they're struggling with?
Well, the people in the key executive leadership programs that I run at American University, there's a master's degree in public administration program, and there's also a certificate program. And these are basically people at the 13, 14, and 15 level who are interested in thinking about becoming members of the senior executive service.
Mm-hmm.
So the program I run is about providing information about public administration principles, but most importantly, how do I increase my leadership capacity to implement what I learn? So these are people who are who really are true public servants who want to do better and are frustrated by the organizations in which they find themselves, frustrated about the limitations that they feel on the decisions that they can make with respect to those they lead, find it difficult to get the support they need to make the decisions they would like to make, particularly with respect to poor performers. So they are, most of these folks are a bundle of frustration.
What is it? Do they share the optimism that you have that things can change in the not too distant future?
Yeah, I think they do. I think they do, and especially when they participate in a process of really identifying what the issues are and perhaps how they can be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't understand the system in which I work, I can't possibly figure out which button to push that will inspire change to happen.
That's an interesting concept, because I think that from the experience that I've had talking to people who work in the private sector, there is not nearly that level of, I guess, not self-awareness, but organizational awareness of even being able to figure out what's wrong.
Uh-huh.
Before you can start to make the changes that are needed to streamline an organization or a process. So that's encouraging just on the face of it, I think.
Well, the program, the key executive program is really all about helping people diagnose where they are and define where they want to be and help them get there.
Mm-hmm. That's something that some consultants make a whole lot of money for doing. So it's a noble endeavor that you're involved in there. You mentioned poor performers and the frustration that the people have with poor performers. That's a common misconception, too, for people who are looking from the outside in. The perception is that managers don't really care about having poor performers and don't care about what to do about them, and it doesn't matter. They're just kind of going with the flow like everybody else, too.
I think that's a misconception. Certainly there are some people who are going with the flow, but I think most supervisors are responsible people and take their job seriously and yet feel their hands are tied with respect to poor performers, notwithstanding the laws which make clear how performers can be dealt with, should be dealt with, notwithstanding the fact that people discharged for poor performance and appeal their cases to the Merit Systems Protection Board never, ever have the decision overturned based on substance. It's overturned based on procedural violations, but never on substance. Notwithstanding all of that, most first and second level managers feel that they don't get the support they need to take the actions they advocate.
Is that because the whole process has the potential to not just be a big hassle, I guess? I mean, the process of getting, of moving someone out who is a poor performer is not like it is in the private sector, where you do your documentation and you have your materials all lined up. You go to the HR director of your organization, you say, here's my evidence, the person leaves, and there are very few of those kinds of appeals in the private sector, because companies are so used now to the fact that they have to have all their ducks in a row, where there's a, again, it's perceptions, but we know about perceptions becoming reality in some cases. There's a perception that even if you have everything all lined up perfectly, that it can all go afoul and wind up coming back on you at some point.
Well, as I just suggested, that is the perception. It is not the reality.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the reality, because as I just pointed out, the Merit Systems Protection Board does not overturn discharges based on performance for the substance.
Mm-hmm.
It can for procedural violations, but never on the substance. So there is that perception that it's too hard. But when you really get down to it, there are two things. One, some managers are reluctant to have difficult conversations with those they lead and say, hey, Francis, you're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. And then some supervisors are reluctant to take the time to do the documentation that you just pointed out. And so they don't. But even those who do have the conversations and do the documentation often don't get the support they need from their boss or from the human resources office.
Robert Tobias of American University, my guest on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose, and we'll wrap up our conversation when we return in just a moment.
Everyday America depends on the FAA to ensure the safe operation of the national airspace. For more than 20 years, task engineers and specialists have supported the FAA's development of a safe and secure air traffic management system. With proven expertise in NAS systems engineering, program management, and aviation operations, TASC stands ready to support the FAA's next-gen transformation. TASC continues to be a trusted advisor partnering with the FAA today for a safer tomorrow. Visit online at TASC.com.
Baseball is a game, but if you're an IT professional in the Baltimore-Washington corridor, you know what real competition is. In today's economy, you need a credential that makes a difference. The Online Masters in Information Systems from UMBC. Computing Research News nationally ranks UMBC among the top five major research universities for awarding IT degrees. Learn more about UMBC's Online Masters in Information Systems. For more information and an application, visit onlinems.umbc.edu today.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
Assistance is on the way for family members who have to leave their jobs to become caregivers for severely wounded Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. That change took place yesterday as President Barack Obama signed a bill estimated to cost $3.7 billion over 5 years. It also expands veterans' care for women, the homeless, and those who live in rural areas. I'm J.J. Green.
There's a lot of talk about thinking outside the box. But what about thinking inside the box? Airink is a company that looks at every angle when solving problems. In fact, Airink recently helped convert regular cargo containers into sophisticated air traffic and communications control facilities for use abroad, combining the shipping box and actual equipment into one turnkey system. Imagine that. Log on to www.arinc.com to learn more.
What is health information technology? How does the use of health IT benefit healthcare users and public health in general? What is being done to increase the adoption of health IT? Listen next week as these questions and more will be explored with Dr. David Blumenthal, National Coordinator for Health Information Technology. Join host Michael Keegan next week on the Business of Government Hour. That's next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Save money at HalfPriceDC.com with half-price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, stores, spas, and more. This week, HalfPriceDC.com has half-price gift certificates to Ozio, Washington's premier martini and cigar lounge, where they practice the art of leisure. Studio 355 in North Bethesda, award-winning stylists combine cutting-edge style with relaxation. And Cultura, D.C.'s premier med spa, specializing in cosmetic dermatology, laser, and spa therapy, makes a great Mother's Day present. See all the offers at halfpricedc.com.
Tired of playing catch up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're talking management at your agency with Robert Tobias of American University. And we've learned now, you and I, Bob, over the course of this hour, something that at least I didn't know before the hour began, and that is that you and I share an affinity for British politics.
That's a fact.
And today is Election Day in Great Britain. Prime Minister Gordon Brown is expected to not only not be reelected. Well, he's never been elected prime minister, but his Labour Party is expected to suffer a heavy defeat today. He will probably not be the leader of the Labour Party tomorrow. But I'm wondering if you have any predictions of what we might see later tonight, our time, and tomorrow morning, British time.
Francis, you know, the bookies in England do such a great job of predicting the future. I don't know that I'm going to venture into that arena.
I'm fascinated, too, by the idea that in England you can bet on anything. Anything that you can think up, somebody will make book on it. And it's all perfectly legal. It's apparently a great contributor to the tax coffers there. British politics, of course, has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the topic at hand. And we just have a couple of minutes left, and you've graciously agreed to stick with us after the break when Max Kakis will join us to talk about the latest on this telework bill that it may not even be fair, because it did receive a majority, to say that it was defeated. Is that fair, do you think? I mean, because that characterizes it as though it was not popular enough to become law, when in fact it received a quite substantial majority, just not a two-thirds majority as required by the technicalities.
I think the word defeated overstates the case, because the assumption is that it didn't get a majority of the votes.
Yeah. We will talk more about that with Max, and we'll get some more thoughts about that and lots of other managerial issues with Bob Tobias on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Thanks for listening, and stick with us for hour number two. Yeah, that one I went to.